This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
How are you doing there, sweetie pie?
He's talking to his granddaughter.
Is that juice good? You going to give grandma a surprise in a bit? Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shelp.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks. Oh, what a...
Hello, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are once again at the Bristol Opera House in Bristol, Indiana, home of our home theater, Elkhart Civic Theater. And with me, as always, John Shelp and Marcia Fulmer. And we are playing everyone's game show with our everyone's favorite game show, I Know, with our studio audience. Give yourselves a hand, studio audience, out here in the auditorium. Demaree Dufour is our quiz master, and Kevin Agelski is our MC for today.
Hi, everyone.
We have a special guest coming up in a few moments, Scott Perkypile, who's going to be talking about some special work that he's doing. But take it away, Kevin, for the games.
Okay, we're going to play a game we call the Lightning Round. There's a set of questions for each of our onstage theater geeks. Now, each one of them will be playing for a member of the studio audience.
Oh, gee. No pressure.
Go ahead, everybody, draw a name out for playing for.
We all draw?
Oh, we have to each draw
one. Each person
one
draws, who we're draws playing a name. For. Now, whoever answers, whichever geek answers the most questions correctly in 30 seconds, will win the round for their audience member.
Oh.
And the winner of the round will receive will get BBC announcer Peter Baker's voice on his or her answering machine. John Shelp, who are you playing for today?
Well, today I'll be playing for Julie Klein.
Okay. Marcia, you will be playing for?
Oh, Carl Wiesinger.
Okay.
All right.
And David.
And you have my sympathies, Mel Moore.
I have to say is this is
I'm
not
very hopeful
go well,
that
sorry,
one
Julie.
Of you will receive Peter Baker's voice on your answering machine. Here it is, in case you were not here for the first two episodes that we...
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Pete Baker. Welcome to Theater Geeks Live at the Bristol Opera House. Today, someone in our audience will have a chance to play everyone's favorite test of theatrical knowledge. I know, and the winner will receive me. Well, actually, the winner receives a recording of me for his or her telephone answering machine. I'll be saying something no doubt exciting, such as, Judy's not at home. She's probably walking the dog, so please leave a message at the tone. Or, Fred had too many gin and tonics last night and can't get to the phone just now. Or, Susan's not available at the moment. If you are her ex-boyfriend, don't bother leaving a message because now I'm the fellow making her breakfast in bed. Anything you want, actually. And, of course, I'll do it in my best BBC Points West style. Have a good time playing, and best of luck to all theatre geeks.
Okay, there we go. So that's Peter Baker, and hopefully you will... I hope the right person wins. I don't know. One of you is going to win that.
One of you is going to win.
I hope it's the one I picked in advance. Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Who wrote these?
Okay, we're going to start off with John. The timer will start after I read the first question. John, who is responsible for making all light, sound, and stage cues that are executed at the proper time?
The stage manager.
If a technician is on the grid, where are they?
They're up in the lights.
Who is most likely to be working in the catwalk?
It would be a
electrician.
Oh, really? Not really.
What does a dresser do?
A dresser puts costumes on a person.
Gathering small items and furniture is often the responsibility of which person?
The props person.
Scenery is sometimes a series of walls. What is the theater term for these walls?
Flat.
What is a changeover?
It's when you move sets off and bring new sets on.
What is a raked stage?
It's a stage just like ours that goes from low from the front and up in the back.
What is the name of the structure?
Oh, time.
What is the name of the structure that times? Oh, wait.
No,
all right.
No.
Well, we'll get all right. Okay. Wow.
That's very
good. I actually did better. But I disagree with that whole thing on the catwalk thing. But
Why?
All right.
I don't write them.
Well,
I merely read them.
Everybody uses them.
There we go.
That's the thing.
Okay.
That was seven correct for John.
Well, thank you. Thank you very
very
much.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay, Carl, I'm apologizing in advance. My brain is dead this morning.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well,
I don't know if that would help.
Okay, here we go. This show, using massive puppetry, was recently featured in the Diamond Jubilee celebration for Queen Elizabeth.
Avenue Q.
War Horse. This is the longest-running show on Broadway.
Phantom of the Opera.
What is Judy Garland's original name?
Who's? I'm sorry.
Judy Garland.
Oh, Frances Gum.
Ethel Gum.
Oh, jeez.
Cats played at which Broadway theater?
Winter Garden.
Which day of the week is the dark day for Broadway?
Monday.
What do you get at TKTS?
Tickets.
Time.
Wow. Sorry, okay. Carl. That was much shorter time.
Those are hard, though. I would have been like belly up
sure
on those.
Are you sure it wasn't Frances Gum?
I have Ethel Gum.
Pardon me. I'm going to Google it.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Here we go. Dave, you're going to complete the title of the play.
Oh.
Okay.
Sure.
Titus Blank.
Andronicus.
Blank of a Salesman.
Death.
Waiting for Blank.
Godot.
The Blank of Venice.
Merchant.
Once Upon a Blank.
Mattress.
Who's Afraid of Blank?
Virginia Woolf.
Biloxi Blank.
Blues.
Blank on the Mountain.
Time.
Smoke.
Jeez, could they be any easier? Holy moly.
Sorry, Julie. I'm really sorry.
You made these up.
It was me, and I won't say I didn't rig it for my... I rigged it for my dad.
Whoa. Well, go figure, the rigging worked.
The rigging
with
worked.
With eight correct answers, Dave Dufour is our winner and has won for Mel Moore.
Mel, see us afterwards and we'll get the correct answering message recorded by Peter Baker. So, Demaray now goes to the bench. And we bring, thank you for helping, and you'll be back in a moment. Bring Mr. Scott Perkypile back. This is the second episode with Scott that we're recording today. Scott is, your real job is right now what?
I teach at IUSB.
Indiana Francis University South Bend.
And also I'm the Francis drama director at Long Lumiere School.
Okay, which is a private school as well. That's a prep school.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And so, you were doing something else very interesting with...
I've been working with kids at the Elkhart County Juvenile Detention Center.
Okay.
And all levels of society represented in there, from kids that have just messed up in high school or got in a fight.
Right.
And there's really no... I'll tell you what, the detention center here in Elkhart County, which is located in Goshen, has a magnificent education program inside.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these kids may be there for a year or two or longer. Some of them are there until they turn 18 and then they move into the adult population. But likewise, with those kids, there are kids that have just been picked up overnight for maybe having an open container or something like that. And so they just do a one night in jail. So it's quite a diverse population in there. I would say the majority of the kids are in there for 6 months or more.
Right.
So, but I got in contact with them and I asked, what can we do? You know, and as I've said before, I believe in the transformative power of theater. And I believe that working with these kids, on communication matrices, you know, trying to figure out how they can effectively make eye contact. A lot of those kids that are in lockup, the only eye contact they make, it goes one way or the other. It's either for a hookup, right, romantically, or it's eye contact that is very, well, it leads to violence.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to find the middle ground. You know, just look at somebody, just listen to somebody. And so we do a lot of theater games or exercises in there. We use a lot of the exercises from Augusto Boal, who is a Brazilian theoretician in the theater. and it does a lot of street theater, that kind of thing, and transformative theater. Having, for instance, what we might do is somebody got thrown in jail because they pushed a principal or something like that when they got taken to the principal's office. And so we'll put them in that situation, but we'll reverse the roles so that now they're the principal and somebody else is playing them. And then we try to get that self-reflective kind of thing going on inside their heads, that what are my other choices? And there are some amazing people at this place. Maureen Lorman is the education director there, open to all kinds of artistic influences to help these kids. Jake Webster, who is an Elkhart and South Bend artist, he comes out there and works with them, writing poetry, building all kinds of found item artistic assemblages. So you can see in those kids their expectation that, hey, today maybe I can step out of that box where I've been, you know, and find something else, maybe just a little bit of freedom. Because for a lot of these kids, you know, they don't have families. A lot of the kids are in gangs, you know, and the gang becomes their family. We've done some, I'm babbling on again, but we've done some mask work out there where we build the masks and they conform to the face of the actor and only to their face. And for some of those kids, at the end of it, they get to keep that mask. And that's one of the few possessions that they have that's theirs, all theirs. You know, they wear hand-me-down clothes, you know, and if they ever get anything new, it might be through stealing, you know. So for them to have something they can call their own is really important to them. One of the things we do is we let them decorate those masks. And the first time I was there, you talk about a rookie. Boy, I was scared to death. We had made masks, and this guy asked if he could put a teardrop on the mask. And I said, ah. Well, and I made up this thing in my head. Oh, that must be somebody who meant a lot to you, and it's a representation of that. And he said to me, yeah, that's right. And then later, one of the guards called me over and said, just to let you know, that tattoo underneath the eye is kind of like a notch on a gun. It represents somebody that they have killed. And I went, whoa, man, you know, I mean, What a strange, heavy symbol to be carrying all your life. You know?
Right.
So anyway.
But the idea of how you're transformative, that sometimes putting your hands on something, creating your own thing, making it yours, like the masks.
Absolutely.
It can really change the way a person thinks about life in general, which is amazing. Just one creative piece.
Right. You know, I had one kid who was kind of the alpha male in there, and this is a co-ed detention center. And we all work together in the gym. And there are rules about touching. They can't touch each other at all, except when we're working together. Then we lift that rule because that tactile connection with people is so important. But this one guy, he was a great big tall guy and was a gangbanger. And he watched me for about 6 months where he wouldn't really participate. But he watched and he watched, and the other kids were taking their cues from him. And so they were kind of reserved. But I kept going back, and I kept going back. And after a while, about 6 months into it, this guy came up to me, and he looked at me. He's a big, tall guy, about 6'6". He looks down at me, and he says, you're just going to keep coming back, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, okay, cool. And right then, he gave everybody else the freedom to be part of it, you know, because the alpha male said I was all right, so everybody else said okay, and they started participating more and more.
That's great.
So those little breakthroughs like that,
right,
again, just you know, break your heart, but also really make you feel really good. Mm. So I've seen a lot of change in a lot of those kids. And don't want to be too much a downer, but a lot of those kids are trapped. They are trapped in the gangs. And I had one kid that I worked with for about a year, and he came to me and he said, I'm getting out. And I said, you're getting out of jail? And he said, yeah, and I'm getting out of the gang. And he was from Elkhart. And so I said, well, you know, contact me. Here's my card, and let's stay in contact, and I'll help you any way I can. And the next weekend, There was an obituary in the Elkhart paper, and he had been assassinated by the gang because he wanted out. So, I mean, these guys, and we're talking about, you know, 14 to 18-year-old kids or to 17-year-old kids that are trapped in something that they just don't know how to get out of. Mm. So if we as artists can give them some kind of outlet, you know, there's so much talent in there. There's musical talent and drawing talent and performing talent. And we just got to, I really believe we got to give them a chance. Mm-hmm. Because if not, then they just go out and right back into the life and into the cycle, and they end up back into the, you know, the recidivism rate is horrible.
Yeah.
So
do you focus the content, say, of plays or the performance aspect to kind of to their particular life concerns or their lifestyles or the issues that they face?
Definitely. Most of the content comes from their lives.
Okay.
So they'll do, certainly through their poetry, they'll write about what works for them, what doesn't work for them, terrible, amazingly scary views into the lives of these kids. But occasionally they'll mention somebody they trust, a grandmother or a great aunt or somebody they trust, and that's mm-hmm. their safe base. Wow. And so we try to work around that. What is it that's so safe about being with that person? You know, the environment, definitely number one, and then that sense of somebody who will hug them, will make those connections with them, will listen to the problems that they have instead of just lining them up like cordwood and running them through the system. Yeah. So
that's right.
Yeah.
So
don't have any answers. Definitely don't have all the answers. But I do know that the more that the community members get involved, get into these places, talk with these kids, get into the public schools, for heaven's sake, and have that connection instead of just warehousing kids.
Well, the arts are so important mm-hmm. in that kind of any of the arts, but obviously you're focusing theater, but right. The arts in general really are a great tool to reach that kind
Definitely,
of a population,
Dave.
Certainly.
There are all kinds of studies. I think there were 120 studies that put together on the internet. I'm trying to, artsforamerica.org, mm-hmm. that's what it is.
Artsforamerica.org.
And they talk about your exposure to theater arts and how that affects your ACT and your SAT grades, mm-hmm. as well as your overall attendance at school. The more often you're exposed to the performing arts, the more likely you are to graduate. I mean, how can you fight that?
Right.
And yet, what do? The first programs we cut, get rid of drama, get rid of music, get rid of art.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll just study the science and math. Well, science and math are just integral to the arts,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, so it's not an either or. It has to be done in tandem. Okay. I really believe that.
Well, thanks for coming to Theater Geeks today. Thanks. Appreciate you being with us and telling us about this important work as well as the other work you're doing as well. Scott's involved as well with autistic spectrum, autism spectrum, is that what we call it?
Correct.
Students as well, and we've talked about that in another episode of Theater Geeks. So thank you very much.
We're going
to bring back Demaree off the bench, and she's going to come back as our quiz master because, Kevin, what's it time for?
It's time for limericks.
Oh, Lord, again.
Wow, what excitement.
What excitement.
Now, here's how the game's played. A member of our audience is going to get called up. We're going to pick their name, and they must fill in the last word or phrase in three limericks. If he or she does so correctly for at least two out of the three, he or she will win a beautiful prize donated by Bee on the River, a coffee and gift shop located in Elkhart, Indiana. John, have we picked?
I did pick. Yes, did I did. And
is it another family member of yours?
No.
It is not. How people behave. This is Lori Kroll.
Lori,
there
come on
we
up.
Go. Part of our Elkhart Civic Theater family.
I was going to say she's part of our family, our theater family.
That's right.
Okay, here's your first one, Lori. With such height, he can play a buffoon. But he's got moves and a voice that can croon.
Oh, jeez.
At 6 feet seven, with that smile and expression, this dancer is named...
Oh, too bad Dee Dee's not here. These are harder.
Tommy Toon, that's correct.
There we go. Yes, that's right.
Okay, let's try this next one. With the music, the lyrics did flow. These partners wrote show after show. Brigadoon, Camelot, their great songs drove the plot. On Broadway, they're Lerner and...
Not high.
They aren't high.
Low.
There
correct.
You go. Hey.
And here's your last one. At this wedding, you laugh like a hyena and eat pasta made from semolina. These Italians seem crazy, but like your family, maybe. It's the wedding of...
No, it's, but she's their mother. No.
Tony and Tina, that's correct. Yes. Lori, please get your prize donated by Bee on the River.
Donated by Bee on the River.
A coffee and gift shop located in Elkhart, Indiana.
And thank you for playing I Know. Great. All right. Well, I'd like to thank you all once again for being here. Give yourselves a hand there in the audience. This has been a great adventure today. I hope that you are all well filled up with brunch, and we are going to wrap up this episode. Thank you to Demaree and Dufour Nunneman for being our quiz master, and thanks to Kevin Agelski for being our MC for today. Yes. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.